Trevor Watson, officially Sunny, the Technically Golf podcast, presented by Group Chat Golf. Yep. Golf podcast, technically. Wow, what a week.
We've had a big week
for the boys.
Big week.
Why don't you tell the folks what we've done?
Oh, man.
So we played the International on last Wednesday, which, of course, is where the LIV Golf Boston stop will be happening September 2nd through the 4th.
Nice job on those dates.
Thanks. Yeah. Met the guys down there. Great track. Played with Jake Adams from Country Club Adjacent and one of the members there who was just an absolute delight of a fellow. I mean, what a gem that guy was.
Just a great group that day.
Yeah.
The vibes were high.
Yeah. We smoked them. We beat the Country Club Adjacent team in the match, which actually came right down to it.
21 holes.
When I say we smoked them, I mean we won by one in overtime.
Yes.
So we actually we played the Oaks course. We had a late lead and squandered it. The member man, he drained a putt on 18 to tie it. Jake Adams missed his putt. The member, he hit his putt to tie it, and then we went to an overtime hole. We were all square through one, all square through two. I jacked up pretty much every shot I had on the third playoff hole, but let me tell you, my man Sonny was lights out on that one.
Yep.
Lights out.
First and only birdie all day for the whole group.
Yep.
Came on the 21st hole to win the match.
Yep. So that was delightful. Then the next day, we attended the United States Open of Golf.
We went to the US Series. Open. It was another day. With Jake Adams and Matt Cardis from Golf in Your State.
Yep.
We just walked around all day. We had some drinks.
Yep. Caught some laughs.
Caught a lot of laughs.
Yep.
Matt Cardis had this jacket on with all the US Open patches on it, all the logos from the golf courses from the past however many US Opens.
Yep.
Must have gotten stopped every 5 minutes.
No short of 1,000 times.
Yeah.
Hey, man, cool jacket. Can I take a picture? How did this come about?
Yeah, and then we ran into Johnny Damon.
Mm-hmm. Saw JD.
And he gets called out every 1 second.
Another tremendous fellow.
And in Boston, too.
Yeah.
In Boston, there was a lot of Johnny. Everybody that walked by him was
Johnny Damon.
Yeah, they wanted to give him a little piece.
Yeah, funny guy. He was chill. He was fun to talk to.
Very fun.
You can tell he loves a good high vibe.
Oh, he's all about it. He brings them.
Yeah.
He's the bringer of the high vibes.
He packs a punch with the vibes for sure.
Doesn't allow low.
No. No low vibes around Johnny. And that was interesting because that was my first pro golf event.
Really?
Yeah. And let me tell you, let's back up. We went to the Vermont Open at Lake Mort.
Yes.
On Monday. So that was interesting. That was like my first amateur event. Pros do play in that, I guess. What do you call that?
Yeah, that's just a local.
Yeah, local thing. But so that was cool because it was my home course. So getting to see people like hit some of the same bad shots that I hit was really refreshing and made me feel better about myself. And then going to the US Open, dude, another course that I had played, the Country Club. Shout out Austin Cyrus, assistant senior superintendent at Charles River. He worked at the Country Club, got me on there years ago. So I had played that course too. So I saw my first two events at courses that I had played. And let me tell you something about pro golfers, not as good as TV makes them out to be. Now, let me say this, they're good. Right. I'm not saying that they're bad, but when you only watch pro golf on TV, you think that they make every shot because they show that, you know, they only show absolutely incredible shots. And then you might see a really, really bad shot on social media or something. Mm-hmm. But just getting the holes where somebody makes a bad par or a bogey, you just don't see that on TV. So that again made me feel really, really good about myself. Because I thought I was the only person in golf that missed shots. I don't know if that's a crazy thing to think. But
I mean, the difference is there's, in chipping and putting for them. Because the ball striking, it's you can play with a scratch golfer and see them hit just as good shots as iron shots and drives as the pros.
Right.
Obviously, the pros are going to do it more consistently. But you've you've seen all the shots that these guys are hitting, like playing with, if you ever play with a low handicapper.
Yeah.
But once they're, you know, on the green and they're making 10, 12, 15 footers on greens that we would blow everything 20 yep. feet by all yep. day.
Mm-hmm.
And chipping close to holes on greens that fast.
Yeah.
Very hard. So, but as far as the ball striking goes, they were all over the place. Missing yeah. greens left, yeah. right, short, long. And it was windy. It was breezy. But, I mean, just like guys hitting it thin and not making divots on it. Like, you can tell, like, they just don't hit it great all the time.
Right.
There was a lot of throwing their arms up to tell people where it was going.
Yep. And in my mind, pro golfers hit the green and landed it like 4 to 6 feet from the hole every single time they took a swing
mm-hmm.
on every hole. I thought they did that because yeah. that's all they show on TV.
Yeah, it was crazy to see how many guys just playing to the smart spot
yeah.
on the holes and just like not being okay with 40-foot putts.
Yep.
And those were good shots. They were happy about those.
Mm-hmm. It was also interesting, too, to just kind of see how the media had been handling all of these LIV guys. Like, if you just looked at Twitter or, you know, the internet, you would have thought that Phil Mickelson is the most hated man in golf on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
We heard nothing but absolute roars for that guy.
Yeah.
It was his birthday. People ate him up. He played terrible. He was mm-hmm. he had like a standing ovation everywhere he went.
Yeah.
Absolutely adored by the fans.
There was a nice crowd around Phil out there.
Yeah.
There were some good roars while we were mm-hmm. out there.
Yeah, that's fun to hear from the distance.
Yeah, it is. You really do wonder, like, oh shit, who was that?
Right.
What happened? You know, we never find out.
I kept making the joke. Would you guys think it was Tiger?
Yeah.
You know, because he didn't play in it.
Yeah. I wonder what his roars are like.
Yeah, they must be pretty wild.
Mm.
And those galleries around him, like, I mean, they like we would be in kind of populated areas and it would be so god like if one person was standing in front of me, I would be annoyed.
Yep.
Like I like unfettered visual access.
Yes.
And having your visual access be fettered, just kind of like, because when you're especially if there's like two or three people in front of you mm-hmm. and you're, you know, waiting in line at the ropes, if you have like a little tiny window at a putt or something, if somebody moves their head an inch, mm-hmm. you're just playing the like readjusting game the whole time. And it could come that dude in front of you might adjust his neck right when that guy hits the putt.
Exactly.
And then what? Then you're fucked.
Yeah. I lose all interest if I'm not on the ropes.
Right.
If I'm not touching the ropes, I just walk somewhere else.
You got to have cock right on the rope.
Yeah, you do.
Mm-hmm.
Just set it right on there.
And there's actually, I mean, that's the other great thing too, is like, if you're not following, and we were there on Thursday, but if you're not following the big guys, you can get some pretty good unfettered visual access.
Oh, we sat on a tee box, like right next to a tee box. I think it was maybe the sixth hole, mm-hmm. fifth or sixth hole. There was a green right next to us that people were hitting into. And then the last group, a couple of groups that still had to tee off, was a short par four. People were trying to drive it. And we just sat there. We're the only people on that side, and we just smoked a J.
Yeah.
And it was like the most peaceful. We were sitting on the ground. There was literally nobody over there.
And we had, like, it was such a good spot. Like, we had a little wooded area with a fence right behind it. So we had our own VIP bathroom, too.
We were able to.
Which was clutch.
Yep, that was, because I had to pee really bad.
So bad. They could have done better with the bathrooms.
Yeah, the bathrooms were far apart.
Yeah.
We took a couple of long walks looking for bathrooms out there. And you hate to, you know, piss on a tree at the U.S. Open or anywhere where you're that in public. Like, felt like that's an easy spot to just get you.
Oh,
I guess you're going to jail.
Right.
Because your dick's out.
Right. Yeah, I don't think I would have peed anywhere else, not in a toilet, except for our little VIP bathroom right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got really lucky with that spot. We chilled there for like an hour.
Yeah.
We caught the last couple of groups.
Yeah, there was no reason to leave, really.
Yeah, the U.S. Open is, it feels good walking in there. It's big.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like a big production.
Yeah, they put a lot of shit on that course.
There are so many employees and volunteers. Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And how many people you could tell just went, like maybe they were a little Kohl's and they went to the merch tent. And
right.
And they bought a quarter zip and you just saw full crews in the same quarter zip.
So
everyone
funny.
Was wearing the same thing.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Mm-hmm.
U.S. Open hats everywhere, like. It's funny when people buy the things and put it on immediately.
Yeah, the best. The absolute best. Yeah, that was great. The other thing that I thought was interesting was like the amount of that course that just gets torn to pieces by the gallery walking areas. We were talking to somebody that like, those areas don't get fixed. Like they don't grow back healthy until next year.
Yeah.
And there are some absolutely mangled parts of that golf course, right? Mm-hmm. Now.
Yeah, and just a huge yellow line through every fairway.
Yeah, you know? And you would think, like, as a member, that could get a little irritating. Like, I'm sure it's very cool to have a big event come through. But then when you've got to play it for the next 8 months, especially going into next year, and there's still parts of the course that have been trampled on by plebs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I wonder what the percentage of people that enjoy having that there and don't.
Right.
Because they do get to say, we had a U.S. Open here correct. Last year, and that's big for them.
Yeah, and they probably have, like, some good access to, you know, to the course.
Yeah, definitely.
They probably get taken care of pretty well. But then once Monday, Tuesday hits and you're looking at a tee time, it's like, well, I mean, you could hit into an area that has just been flattened.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be a tough shot out of that.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a lot of areas like that there, but you know, I guess part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Now you get to say you had a U.S. Open at Brookline.
Mm-hmm.
Suck it up for a year.
Yep. Yeah. And I mean, I'm just so glad we made it because we had been talking about it for so long and it had, I think I heard that it was going to be there like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And having played there, I wanted to go so bad.
We had no plan. We pretty much had no intention of going.
No, we had no.
2 days before.
No, dude. Okay, so Tuesday, we went to the Vermont Open on Monday. On Tuesday, we went to the grocery store to go shopping for the entire week. We spent like an hour and a half in there. No list, just went in like meal planning on the meats, fly.
Fish, name it.
And then we got in the car and Jake called and said, hey, do you guys want to play the International tomorrow? And it was like Tuesday afternoon and we were literally in the
parking lot of the grocery store pulling out when I accepted that call.
Yep. Car full of groceries.
And we were like, yeah.
Yep. We're in. So then we went down, figured we'd probably just be there the one night, Tuesday night into Wednesday, come back. As we were leaving the golf course from the International, you kind of have to come back toward Boston to get the highway to come back to where we were going. And we just kind of like, what should we do for like 40 minutes? Do we try to go to the Open? Do we not? Started working on tickets. And there was an Adidas event that night. They were releasing a new shoe, DraftKings and Adidas little like pre-party.
It was sick.
Yeah, it was great. So we ended up going to that, getting some leads on tickets.
Open bar.
Yep.
Food, delicious food.
Oh, maybe the best lobster roll I've ever had.
Yeah. And they had these peanut butter chocolate cookies, and they were also chocolate filled.
Oh,
I ate two in a row. I stood by them for a while. Mm-hmm. I wanted to go for a third, but I thought I should leave some for the people.
Yeah, that was nice of you. And then at the end of the night, they took 60 of them that were still left up there and threw them in the trash. So Adidas event, went to the Open Thursday morning.
Yeah, we were on our way to the Adidas event, and we started sending texts like, does anyone have tickets?
Yeah.
We found one ticket and we were like, okay, go to this event. We'll see if maybe we can score another one. If not, we'll just wait. Because at this time, the price was $450, $500 a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, you know, worst case, if we can't get one, we'll just split it and we'll go.
Yeah. And we actually, we waited till about midday. Price dropped to like $200.
Yeah.
It probably came out to like $700 after fees. But so we went. And then No, we stayed in Boston again that night.
We did. We stayed back and we went out after. We went and had dinner.
Oh, yeah, Boston. We did.
We went and had a nice little dinner. We watched some of the Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to good old Renegades in Eastie.
Yep. Closed it down at Renegades, which is probably like a 12-person bar. And they were at capacity.
Yeah,
so we had to stand outside
for a little bit
for a couple people to leave. Then we came back up and then we headed over to beautiful Fox Run in Ludlow, Vermont.
Oof.
And, you know, it was just kind of like a similar feeling pulling into any golf course. We really didn't know what to expect, assumed it was, you know, probably going to be like douchey people and whatever.
Yeah. Our plan was to stay. We play on Sunday. Stay Sunday night, play again on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And mind you, now remember, we've had one night at camp since we bought those groceries.
Yeah.
At this point.
Yeah.
It's been 4 days. We've had one night at home.
Correct. The morning we were leaving to go to Fox Run, I think we had to be there by 11.
Yeah, I think we left here one. Around, yeah, we had a 1 o'clock.
We had to be there at one. So that morning I woke up and I checked the fish for the fish tacos, and it was, I don't think it would have made it a few more days. Mm-hmm. So I made breakfast fish tacos, blackened tilapia. And then we...
Is there any eggs or anything?
And then no, there was no. Just, there was none. But just, even if there were, dude, we were just, I was using the fish was going to go bad.
I walked in there, I saw that cooked, and I was like, I'm not that polite. Like, I'll eat a lot of things, but not fish at 10 a.m. I cannot do fish in the morning.
Pickled onions.
Yeah.
Little crema.
Yeah.
They were delicious. Teeth, like. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right into the blackened fish taco. So then we get over to Fox Run. And that, I mean, that course, I don't know, it's without a doubt Vermont's hidden gem, but I think it's also in the top five courses there.
Mm-hmm. I think the New England Golf Guide just rated it number one in Vermont.
Yeah.
So that's one of the avenues rating courses.
Yeah. It is. And like my man, Troy, the new owner of that place.
Also my new favorite human.
Absolute gem of a guy. Yeah. Like, we met him before the round and his sister runs the pro shop and she told him a little bit about us. He's like, he comes from gravel and concrete, self-made man. He just like, he's a Long Island guy, and he, I don't know, I guess he got bored one day and was like, I'm going to buy a golf course in Ludlow, Vermont.
Oh, so the story was his buddy Frank cut greens there for years.
Right.
And he heard some rumblings that they might be selling. And mm-hmm. so he went to Troy and he said, let's buy this place.
And then Troy said, okay, I'll buy it, but I'm also going to buy 9 other properties in Ludlow, which include a handful of restaurants and hotels and rental properties. And I mean, this fucking guy, like, we played the round. We met him right before we teed off. Great dude. And, but you know, didn't get it was very brief, and we play the round, and they have maybe the best setup for drinks I've ever seen on a golf course. They have this little, they call it the par bar, and it's still kind of under construction. They're going to redo it all, but it's basically like a tent with a little bar and a grill, and it sits in an absolute perfect location. You hit it twice on the front, you hit it twice on the back. They had White Claws. And then when we finished the round, and it's kind of up, like, it's not near the pro shop, really. I think the first time we hit it was like hole 4 or 5.
Yeah, and mind you, they have 2 cart girls out, one on the front, one on the back.
Correct. And it's the cart that they have, the beverage cart they have, is as luxury as it gets.
The best cart I've ever seen.
Yeah,
amazing. Not just.
And so, after the round, Sunday night sunset party at the par bar. Troy had bought an old Ford F-150 and converted it to a center console hayride. So he sits right in the middle of this thing. And then there's hay. He's got a wooden deck, stairs, railing, and then hay bales surrounding the outer ring for people to sit
probably
on.
Probably gets 20 benches. People on it.
Yeah. 15 and he shuttles them up from the parking lot and the pro shop to the par bar for the Sunday sunset. He brought in a bunch of pizzas from one of his restaurants, free pizza for everybody, bought the first round for everybody. Mm-hmm. And the pizza was fucking phenomenal.
One of the best slices I've ever had.
And unbelievable.
Yeah, that was good pizza.
Yeah. So we sent it in. We watched the sunset go down, and then we went out with a bunch of like the staff. I mean, the way this guy runs this thing, like, everyone is like, you hear that a lot. Like, everyone at this business is a family. I've never seen that be more true.
There's so much passion at this place to make it, and they've only had it for a year.
Yeah.
And they've totally turned it around.
We went out to one of his locations off the rails, great building, great location, beautiful outside. It had like an elevated floating green that you can hit balls into. And we played a fucking dice game for hours
with a bunch of employees from the golf course and the owner, and
all great folks. And I mean, it was an absolute hoot of a night.
I mean, Ludlow might be one of my favorite towns in the U.S. now.
And it's because of Troy.
It's because of Troy.
If we went to Ludlow last year before he came in and bought the whole town, mm-hmm. No thanks.
Now, this is a town that is packed in the winter for skiing. There's a couple of mountains there and kind of dead in the summer. Mm-hmm. So he's trying to revamp this thing to get people there in the summer. And it's well worth the drive if you're in New England.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He's got, they do a bunch of, there's a big cross country ski trail network. So when we were coming down from the Par Bar on the hayride, he just took us on a little like booze cruise throughout all the trails.
Mm-hmm.
And that thing goes like 70 miles an hour.
Yeah. It is really stepped up.
He calls it, it's painted green. He calls it Big Hoopty, yep. which is painted on the front of it.
In yellow.
This guy spares no expense and every detail is covered.
Yeah.
The things he's doing with that golf course are just it, every golf course should take notes from this guy
mm-hmm.
because he makes it so fun. The vibe is great. There's no stuffiness about this guy at all or any of the staff there. We walk into the pro shop and then right to the right, there's like this big room with a golf simulator and a fucking full court basketball arena yeah,
for the kids.
Yeah.
When they stop by.
Yeah. I mean, he's got it all dialed in.
Yeah.
And then, so we played again Monday morning.
Mm-hmm. Long night.
Yep.
The night before.
Yep. Long night.
They got us fucked up.
Yep. So we took it a little easy Monday, went out to dinner with Troy, had a great meal again. And then, the morning after today, Tuesday would be, well, yeah, we might yeah. drop this today.
Yeah.
He took us out to tour the maintenance shop.
Yep. So we met out there at 5:15 this morning. We got a couple shots out there. We watched him roll the greens. He was showing us all the equipment. Just loving every second of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and then he took us to drive around the whole town.
Yeah.
He was like, you want to get breakfast?
Yeah, we got to cut a cup, put a new pin placement in. We got mm-hmm. to roll the stimp 11.
Oh, yeah, they were rolling 11.
5.
Yeah.
These yeah. things were phenomenal.
Yeah, these were some of the fastest greens I've played in a long time.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything around here like
that. I've never seen a green like that in Vermont or New Hampshire or Maine. I mean, I haven't played all of the courses, but yeah. like public course. And I mean, for like growing up and living here for a while, like I had never even heard of the place.
Mm-hmm.
And it is phenomenal.
I've never seen a course with like, there's courses with good views and everybody knows where they are, but I've never seen a course where it's just like you step up on every hole and you have a view.
Yeah. Great view. Like beautiful fescue, tight fairways.
Yeah. I was saying it has a Mike Strantz vibe around the greens.
Yeah.
The greens are always like, you always have like mounds of fescue around you on the mm-hmm. greens. It's kind of cut out of that. And they were doing a bunch of work because the last place let the fescue go. So they've been going in like weeding it by hand and
mm-hmm.
and treating it to try to get it all back to thick fescue. But it's one of the most picturesque courses.
Yeah.
Picturesque.
Yeah. And it really, I mean, it very similar to the style of course that the country club is too. So it's kind of cool to come back from the open and play that. But that place, I'm telling you folks, you have to go there.
5 years from now, that place is going to be on everybody's map.
Yeah.
Like if that, they're coming to this area, if you're, there's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah. If you're doing a New England golf trip and you don't hit Fox Run, you are an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those courses that you just have to hit.
Mm-hmm. And Troy will take good care of you.
Yeah. And they do a stand play. They'll make sure that if you go up with a group of guys, he was like, they have a shuttle.
Yeah.
They'll literally shuttle you around, take you back to your spot, take you to the bar. Like he wants that place to be like, you come there and you don't worry about a thing.
Right. And it's like, you never have to leave like his good graces because the hotel that he shuttles you back to, he also fucking owns.
Yep. The restaurant they take, like,
yep.
He's got, I think 6 restaurants mm-hmm. and bars,
mm-hmm.
steakhouse, Italian, like the place off the rails that we were, there's just a massive bar.
Yep. Pizza. He's got a burger spot.
I mean, he's got all the bases covered.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like it.
And on top of that, like he'll get in there and like wipe a table down. Mm-hmm. He'll do any task that needs to be done. And he has a million things going on.
Yeah.
So just so cool to see like an owner of his stature be so down to earth, just a regular old common man, loves to have fun, works hard, treats everybody with respect.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell all of the employees love working for him.
Yeah, just a good human,
mm-hmm.
you know, good people up there in Ludlow.
Yeah. Yeah. You gotta,
we're going to go back. We're probably going to, well, I mean, not probably, we'll definitely have events there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great venue for events.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a Mercedes Sprinter van, massive. And he also has a mini school bus as his shuttles as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like he just he does it all. Man's an absolute wizard. So that was the week leading up to today.
We just got back maybe 45 minutes ago, hour ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, let's do the pod, and we're a day late.
Yep. But that's why.
Hopefully not a dollar short.
Yeah. Yeah. We keep getting we keep leaving for a day, and then it ends up being several days. And so we planned to be back Monday to record, but we had to stay another night to see the maintenance stuff. So we didn't bring our pod set up. But we have it now, and the U.S. Open, Matt Fitzpatrick took the big win.
Shout out to him.
Brooks Koepka, actually kind of a blessing in disguise, because had we recorded yesterday, Brooks would have announced he's going to the LIV today, and we would have been a week late on that. So now we're right on time. Breaking news, Brooks Koepka to the LIV Tour. And should we just take a shot in the dark here and say Colin Morikawa is going too? Because it's rumored today, but I'm sure the second we hit publish on this, he will announce it. So we'll just go ahead and break the news there too. Colin Morikawa and Brooks Koepka officially in at the LIV Golf Tour. Wow. And my God, Jay Monahan must be shaking in his little stuffy pants.
I mean, who else can you take at this point?
I mean, come on.
How much money are they throwing at these? I mean, we know. We're seeing the deals.
Yeah.
I'm curious. I'm sure Brooks was probably around $200 million too.
Yeah.
But I mean, the PGA Tour is going to have nothing left.
Yeah. Old Takes Exposed is going to drag Rory McIlroy's interview where he's like, I'm staying here to play the best in the world. It's like, buddy, you're playing Grayson Murray at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, who is the best in the world? Oh yeah. Like John Rahm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Scott Scheffler's.
Oh, what's yeah. Scotty Scheffler actually just broke the record for the most earnings in a year, I think.
Really?
For the PGA Tour.
And what's that, like chump change for the LIV Tour golf guys?
Literally. But yeah, I'm super excited for the next LIV event. Is it this weekend? Might be. I think they're playing this weekend out in Washington or Oregon or something.
Yeah, Scott Scheffler, Rory, and John Rahm.
Okay. So the top three stayed.
Yep. For now.
But you're chipping away at that top 10.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's still pending whether LIV will be able to be part of the world golf rankings. As far as I know, as of today, there's still that committee is still deciding on that. So if they're not able to be part of that, like, how can you even really tell?
Yeah, I know. And who's going to even care at that point?
Right.
I mean, if the LIV Tour is giving them that much money to play that many rounds, it's like, I mean, will they ramp up a schedule next year? You know,
it's a good question. Yeah, it's going to be the New Jersey stop at the Trump National Golf Club, Bedminster, July 29th through 31st.
No,
Portland.
Portland, yeah.
Portland, June 30th to July 2nd, Pumpkin Ridge. Right, so, next weekend. That's coming right up.
I can't wait till they come to Boston.
Yeah.
That course was tough.
Yeah. Yeah, the old internet. That might be my second pro golf event. Played that course as well. I mean, what a run Chubba Watson's on right now.
That is quite a run. That place had one of the best practice facilities I'd been around.
Yeah.
Massive range, huge chipping green, massive putting green.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect grass.
And
perfectly manicured.
And no tee times at that place.
Yep. We saw two people out there.
Kind of show up and play.
18 holes.
Nobody plays golf there.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
You see nobody like else out there.
I love courses like that.
Yeah.
And they're always in the best shape too, because nobody's touching them. You know?
Right.
Get out there. There's no divots, no ball marks, just pure.
Yeah. Rock. Yeah. That place was wonderful.
Yeah. We got to play some good greens this week. Back to reality.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a fun weekend coming up. We got Seabass to play.
We have the big show. And speaking of Seabass,
Duds, shout out producer Duds.
Yeah.
We miss dearly.
Getting the gang back together. Seabass, due to the odd scheduling timing of this pod, we were unable to unable to get his LIV Golf PGA Tour Minute of the Week. And by unable to, I mean, we didn't have headphones readily available. So we decided to not tell him that we were recording it right now, because then we'd have to go get the headphones to listen on that. So
he did try to, he called us at pod time yesterday.
Yeah, he was in. He was in.
So he's in.
Yeah, so he'll be back next week. It was just kind of our blunder this week that he's not on it. But I'm sure his minute would have been spectacular.
Oh, yeah.
But he also, you know, it is a big week for him. Opening night is Friday, so maybe it's just for the best that he focuses on his lines, because I don't think he's off book yet. So, and it's coming down to crunch time. I cannot fucking wait for
that. It's got to be nerve-wracking.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure he's just hasn't slept a wink.
Yeah. He loves, he needs the spotlight though.
I'm sure when he was like, hey, are you guys going to come to my play? He did not anticipate
everyone saying yes.
Well, and especially being like, we're going to go on opening night.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
first in the, I mean, if there will be nobody in front of us in line. That's a guarantee.
Yeah.
We'll be the first.
100%. We'll camp out Thursday night if need be.
Yeah.
I have no problem doing that.
Drinking water until then. Because I need a break.
Yeah. We've been on the go.
Week and a half. Since we started this stint together, but we're also making content now.
Yeah, we made a video.
We're video
content guys now.
You know, if someone wants to intern for us out there and help us with our videos, just like show us how to make them.
Yeah,
you know, just contact us because we're beginners, but we're gonna learn.
Yeah, we used iMovie, and then somebody commented this has iMovie vibes, which I don't know, was that an insult or?
I think it might have been.
Yeah.
Yeah,
taking shots at the boys. So if you are a video editor and want to edit our videos, please do.
Yeah, or just tips, tricks. You know, we'll take anything.
Mm-hmm.
But we're in. We got a lot of stuff cooking up. We're going to go make some more tonight. We already have another one ready to go that we haven't edited yet. So it's pretty far from ready, but we got the raw footage.
Yep. It's a lot of fun.
It is. We like it. We like it a lot, but it's also a lot of work.
It is.
So I big respect to everybody out there making golf videos and not just memes, because it's a lot harder.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot more time than just popping out a meme real quick.
Right.
But Instagram wants people posting reels now. So we got to get out there and post reels, because
we just
got to stick with the times.
Bend the knee to Zuck Daddy and do whatever he wants us to do.
Yep. Yeah. So you'll see more and more of that. We got some good ideas up our sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
We got our own unique thing that people aren't doing that we're going to start trying to, you know, weasel our way into the golf influencer community, really.
Yeah.
I know.
You
know.
Yeah, that, I mean, we had never really thrown around the I word, but this thing that Fox Run, they and again, credit to Troy being such a genius, they are launching like an influencer program where they, you know, are just reaching out to a bunch of people and bringing them in. And so we were the first ones. And so we kind of launched the program for them. Hopefully we set a good precedent. But they threw around the I word all weekend long.
Yeah, I felt famous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we got star treatment.
Yeah. Oh my God. Treated like kings. But they like every time we saw Troy with somebody else, he'd be like, oh yeah, these are the influencers I was telling you about.
We got to the par bar and the girl worker was like, are you guys the influencers?
Yep.
And we were like, not really, but yeah, I guess
that's what they're calling us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were really floating that word around hard this week, which I love, but I also am not used to it.
Right.
Because we don't really put our faces out there very much. We do this podcast and we make some content here and there, but for the most part, we just stay behind the memes and
behind the memes.
Yeah,
kind of like
now we're in the forefront.
It's kind of like behind the scenes, behind the memes.
Yeah, I was like pressing post on that video yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Nerve wracking,
mm-hmm.
putting yourself out there like that.
Yeah, but I think even for our first video, it's pretty good. Like it's clear we have the chops, you know, to be funny out there.
Yeah.
And that's tough to say, but it's just true.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
We might need to be a little bit more polished and
the quality needs to come up a little,
video editing or having somebody out there capturing the video instead of, I think for one part of the video, we just like lodged the phone in between clubs in the golf bag to hold it up.
Mm-hmm.
So we could get like a little better on the production side, but I think it should be good. I mean, we laughed when watching it back.
And while making it.
Yeah. Too. And we have great senses of humor. So I feel like if we can make ourselves laugh, hopefully it resonates with others.
Yeah. And my slip on the rocks was real.
Too. Hilarious. Hilarious.
As I watched it, I was like, I hope people don't think that's staged, because that was first take. The steps were small, like really close together steps, you know? Mm-hmm. And I just tried walking kind of normal, and I just caught it a little weird. And
yeah, almost went down. Then we took two shots of that one, and I asked you to try to fall again, and you said no, because you might actually fall and hurt yourself.
Yeah, I can't fake fall. You can't fake roll an ankle. Once it starts rolling, like, it's done. I was lucky I caught myself that time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it turned out good. I like how it turned out. And we got some good ideas. So it's exciting. I actually feel like it's like new, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. which is fun.
A new endeavor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we've been putting it off for a long time.
Right.
But we really tried to put our foot down the other day, and we actually went out after the round to get yep. shots. And that was the game changer for us. Because trying to get content when you're out there playing, impossible.
Yeah, it is.
Because all you want to do is play.
Right.
So being able to go out there after and mess around on the putting green and the range and find a couple of good spots to get videos on the course, it might have taken us an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's just so much better than, you know, being on the 18th hole and being like, let's record this and try to, you know, make a video out of it.
Yeah. And again, shout out the people at Fox Run. Like, they let us have a free run of the place. Oh, my dude, another fucking thing about this course. Behind, and we saw this on the Booze Cruise Hayride ride down from the Sunday Sunset Par Bar party. Behind the driving range is what Troy calls the Family Four. And it's just four additional secret holes at the course that he like plays with family and friends, but they also use it as the place for lessons. Mm-hmm. So that you don't get bogged down on the course with like a, you know, a lesson going out in front of you and being slow. They have four secret holes there that they play private games on and do lessons. Again, just like something every golf course should have.
And you can hit from both sides of the range because it's like 350 yards. Yep. So when one side fills up, you can go to the other side.
Yep.
Also sick.
But yeah, it's you know, dude, we actually have another video in the bank too. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to spoil it because I want the people to see, but we played a match in on 18, right. One-on-one straight up for all the marbles.
I don't think that one's going to make it to the big page though.
Oh, no, not to give anything away, but we'll talk about it.
We'll flip a coin or something.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see what happens. But that was just a blast. We should do that a little more often too. Play one full hole in.
Yeah.
We got to start upping the wage though. You know, get the tack gun out or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah.
Once we figure out how to keep it, you know. Well, I don't want to do it until we're leaving camp because I want to go in the water and I got to give it time to heal. You know. So maybe in a couple weeks.
Yeah, maybe that could be like a winter thing.
Yeah.
The tats.
Yeah, that might not be a bad idea. Or travel even in a couple around. Weeks. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It'll only need a couple weeks to
get your splash on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be splashing in no time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll figure something out for that.
I think I had a tattoo. Oh, yeah. The red light bulb.
Mm-hmm. Red light district. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So the PGA Tour is pretty much done. You know, we were walking around the US Open too, thinking like, man, if the majors stay allowing the LIV Golf Tour players to play in them, like the PGA Tour really is nothing.
Yeah, I know. Because we were going over it, and I don't know if we said this last week, but none of the majors are PGA Tour sanctioned.
Right. So they have no bearing on that. And if everyone can play in the majors, it's like, because before the LIV Tour came around, like you just kind of connotated the majors with the PGA Tour.
Yep.
Like you just thought it was one product and it's not at all.
Except the Masters, obviously, you know.
Right.
Everybody knows the Masters map. But now, yeah, now it's like, oh, these guys can go do this and still play in the only four tournaments I care about.
Yeah.
Like that's sick.
Yeah.
So whether or not I even care about watching the LIV, I just love that they're taking people from the PGA Tour right now.
Yeah.
It's so sick.
Yeah.
The fact that every week it's just growing and growing, it's mm-hmm. just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And how many, like, do you think the PGA Tour already knows these guys are dropping?
I would imagine they have rumblings. Yeah. Maybe some surprises, but I would imagine they've got a pretty good idea of what's going on. And it's just like, I mean, there's got to be a breaking point for the PGA Tour at some point. Like, they can't continue to say, hey, you're just banned for life.
And imagine a guy like Colin Morikawa going there right now, who has had an unbelievable career his first couple of years on tour.
Yeah.
And instead of chasing all those records in the PGA Tour, which he's doing very well on, he's just going to play on the lift.
Yeah.
Taking the paycheck. I love it.
Yeah. And, you know, if the PGA Tour, because if the PGA Tour keeps these guys banned for life and young dudes are going over that are that good, like they're really shooting themselves in the foot, because if they continue to ban players, it means that they're going to stay long term at LIV. And if they drop that ban, then it could mean people could be shuffling in back and forth and kind of make like a free agency type of period in golf, which could be great. Because if they stay banning all these young guys, like, how is that going to be sustainable for them long term?
I mean, is the only way that this is going to go, I think, is guaranteed contracts
from the PGA Tour.
It's going to have to.
Yeah.
Because what's going to bring somebody back? A chance at $2 million, a chance at $1.3 million.
Right. No, that's a good point. I was just thinking in my head, like, maybe to get the green jacket, but
yeah, well, for majors, of course.
Yeah,
but they're always going to be able to play.
PGA Tour has no. No, yeah. I just forgot that we had just talked about that 10 seconds ago. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, they really have, like, all they have really is, like, that, well, what about the legacy?
Yeah.
And the prestige.
Don't you want to try to win more than Tiger?
And it's like, well, all of the legacy and the prestige is all in the majors, and you guys aren't even, you have nothing to do with those.
Yeah, because when you step back and look at it, like,
with the prestige of the RBC heritage.
Yeah. What does, I mean, take away the four majors and how boring is golf?
Yeah.
And that's the PGA Tour.
Right. Yeah. I mean, every, like, all the PGA Tour, like, bootlickers are just out there talking about, you know, the legacy and the prestige and stuff. And I don't think that that's going to matter much to young golfers who have the option of grinding out on tour, maybe going broke or cashing in for $100 million guaranteed dollars.
Mm-hmm. Or even just $127,000 for coming in 54th.
Yeah.
You know,
8 over every single day of the event and still making great money.
Yep. Yeah, I think there's going to be some big young guys coming up that you just see them kind of get famous and then go play on the LIV Tour.
Yeah.
Not necessarily do it the old-fashioned way of, you know, grinding it out on at Q school and trying to get exemptions and win tournaments. You're just going to have this guy who's in college and really good, and he's got a good personality. And instead of even going to Q school, the LIV Tour is going to say, come on over here.
Right. If you've got eyes on you coming out of college, if people like your personality, and that gives you an opportunity to show that off. You don't have to be that, like, PGA robot drone who has to sound like a robot in interviews and, you know, tote the sponsor line of not offending any of them. It's like, who needs a sponsor when you have a guaranteed contract of $100 million?
Yeah. I'm still so curious to see who partners with the LIV Tour as far as sponsors.
Yeah.
Like, big time. When you start seeing sponsors go from PGA to LIV, like, I can't wait to see who those are.
Yeah.
Like, what club company are we going to see at the LIV Tour events?
Right.
With a sign on the side.
Yeah.
Like, you know, very curious to see that, because where's the money coming in? When does the money, this investment is long term.
Yeah, everything I've seen or heard people saying, and they might just be, you know, PGA bootlickers, but there's really no, like, business plan in place for the LIV Tour. Like, it does not seem like they care at all.
It's just a fuck you to the PGA.
Doesn't seem like they care at all about making money back or whatever.
At some point, they're going to have to, like, put in billions of dollars, probably.
Are they, though?
Probably. They will probably, well, investors want to see some kind of return.
Well, you act like the investors are more than one person, though. It's just Saudi Arabia.
Oh.
And they make billions. They have an unlimited supply of money through all of their other ventures.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like there's an angel investor out there who's, I'm going to need my money back here. Mm-hmm. Because if, you know, if they are doing the, like, sports washing thing, and this is just an investment on their, like, their PR or their reputation or whatever, I don't know that they need to ever make any money. Yeah. You know, they put the product
shelling that out though. I mean, they $10 million every week they have a tournament.
Have you heard about the way this man, the Prince Ab, whatever he is of Saudi, have you heard the way he travels on vacations?
Probably.
Yeah. He like sends
a whole plane for his owls or some shit.
Yeah. And he sends like 50 cars to wherever he's going, but rents out entire hotels. I don't know that like he's pinched for cash, you know? And I don't know if he ever will be. They have like, whenever you hear about the Forbes lists and stuff, there's always like a little asterisk, like this list doesn't include the Saudis who have way more money than anyone on this list. Like they say Elon Musk is the richest man in the world. I don't know that that's true.
Yeah.
Because I don't see Elon flying 50 cars to go on vacation.
It's true. Man, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Maybe Saudi Arabia is not that bad.
Yeah, I mean, Biden's resetting the relationship with him.
Yeah, we're cool. Just could probably just through the live tour, you know, and the fact that gas costs $20 a gallon. We get some of that oil back if we don't already use it. We probably do.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. The only way that like Saudi might need to make money off the live tour is like if everyone goes solar electric, which. You know, we could be long past dead by the time that happens.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because apparently the PGA Tour is out here as a nonprofit.
Correct.
We were talking about.
Yeah.
Which is crazy that they donate everything that comes in.
Yeah.
Except for, I guess, like how does. Yeah. Except for the people that are getting paid. Like.
Yeah. They take a little bit for the purse.
Yeah. And the, you know, employees of the PGA.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure Jay's salary is fine.
Yeah, I'm sure it's massive.
I'm sure he doesn't have to work a second job.
It's a nonprofit, but we make a lot of profits.
Right, right. And then I put them right in my pocket.
Yeah.
But I won't pay a caddy. yeah, it's going to be interesting. But I just, you know, it's like competition's great. You know, it just makes everybody better. And I think there's going to be a breaking point for the PGA Tour. If these guys keep leeching out, something's going to change, and I hope that that's for the better. And I think the PGA Tour has needed to change.
Nick Faldo is retiring after 16 seasons. Is he going to live?
Nick Faldo hasn't retired yet?
No, he's still commentating.
Oh.
He's leaving CBS.
You're talking about retired from commentating.
Yeah.
He's been done playing for
a while.
Yeah.
He might have played in like a Masters not too long ago, but.
Right.
So that was 26 minutes ago. That could mean, I don't know how his relationship is with Gary Player, but that could Greg mean Norman? When we see him. Greg Norman. Sorry.
It's okay.
In the booth.
Yeah.
On the live tour.
That'd be something.
I think we're going to see that. Why else would he be retiring?
Right.
Unless he's sick.
Yeah.
Hope he's not.
I hope he's in the best of health.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, why make $100,000 from CBS or whatever it is when you can make $1 billion commentating 8 weeks out of the year?
Yeah, that's the best part about all this. These guys are taking such a cut in the schedule that they're actually going to have time to enjoy life.
Yeah. Dustin Johnson's probably making $1 million a golf shot.
Yeah, and he just like doesn't even have to practice, you know? I don't know. I don't know. I'd love to see those contracts.
Yeah. I would love to see if there's a
just some like kind of clause like are. Stay good or you know, stay for this long or what.
Right.
But imagine if it was a lifetime that they signed lifetime contracts.
So you would have to play until you're in the grave.
They couldn't go back to the PGA Tour.
Oh, yeah. But like you'd get renewed or is the $250 million over the next 40 years of your life or like when are you getting paid that money? You know
probably
what I mean?
Now.
Up front, all of it, just write one transaction.
Yeah, I think they did it a big check.
That'd be a cool Venmo. They send, Venmo. Just get that on Venmo.
$15 maximum fee, so you know, it's a transfer.
Yeah, that's wild. And it's crazy, dude. Like everyone that is crying about this just sounds like such a jealous loser.
Yeah.
You know, there's no, like, people are writing articles and putting out all these points and they refuse to say the live tour. They have to call it the Saudi tour. And it's just like, man, if you could only, they sound like internet commenters. Like you are just like jealous that you didn't get the contract. So you're coming up with X, Y, and Z reasons why it's bad. It's crazy. Pathetic. They sound like a bunch of whiny babies.
Well, they are a bunch of whiny babies.
Yeah. That's probably why they, that makes sense then. That checks out.
Yep.
As the kids say.
That checks out.
Sure does. Yeah, we played with, speaking of kids, after we beat Jake Adams in Country Club Adjacent in our match, we played another match with like some fucking 12-year-old kids and they beat us. I will say this. We were up and then kind of took the foot off the gas and then they took the lead or made it all square on like 7, maybe took the lead on 8 and then we're leaving after 9. Mm. So...
yeah, so we're going to set up another one with those kids.
Yeah, we're going to get them back. 18
holes. Shout out to Oliver and Sebastian.
Yeah.
Seabass Jr.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Sebastian shot 1 under, so it was tough.
Yeah, he played well.
It was tough. It was a tough match. It was going to be tough to beat those guys.
Yeah.
He said he was a 2. We were both like, this kid can't be a 2.
I just can't comprehend how a 12-year-old can be a 2.
I think he was 14.
Right. I'm going to continue to call him 12. Yeah. It just sounds funnier. I can't. My brain could not, and it still kind of can't, even after playing with him, watching him go 1 under, cannot comprehend how a 12-year-old is a 2 handicap. The kid hits it 40 yards off the tee.
Yeah. Yeah. He's not very long, but he made every putt.
How can you be long at 12?
Yeah.
Like they were using putters for babies.
Yeah. Yeah. They were prepubescent.
But
they still just, he hit it straight off the tee. He'd hit green or be around it.
Yep.
And he would.
And then finish the putts.
Par or.
Had an eagle. Yeah. He had an eagle putt out.
Yeah. Blew his eagle putt by and he just made the 5-footer coming back. No problem.
Yeah.
Like confidently. Throwing every putt in the back of the hole, just like dead center. And these greens were fast. I was kind of jealous.
Mm-hmm.
And the 2 holes that I birdied on the front, he birdied too. And I was like, motherfucker. I couldn't even get one on my own.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was fun playing in Ludlow. I can't wait to be back.
Yeah.
Fox Run. It's a good spot. Just good vibes.
Oh, the best. And I think you'll see it when we do a tournament there.
Yes.
There is no owner who takes care of his people better.
He runs a tournament
in Troy Cruz.
He runs a tournament later in the year where after 9 holes, they take you up in a helicopter to look at the course
to
the top of the mountain.
During the foliage season.
And then they bring you back down to play the back 9.
Yep. I mean, who does that?
He was like, you guys can come. I think it's already full, but you guys can come ride in the helicopter.
Yep.
I was like, I like helicopters. I'd go up. I've never been in one, but.
I would pretend I would go up for sure.
Yeah. I would do it to be polite.
Yep.
Yeah. You want to go really high in the sky in this floating thing? Yeah, sure. I'm in. Anything for Troy. I'd do anything for Troy.
I know. And that's one of those things, like, I'm absolutely terrified of heights. If there was one person I would go in a helicopter for, it would be him.
Yeah, we talked about it because he said he on Monday, he said he forgot to bring the cigars out.
Mm-hmm. Would have smoked a cigar. I absolutely hate
cigars. I would have smoked the shit out of that thing for him.
I would have said, Troy, give me 2. I'll do them at the same time.
Yeah. I would have told him it was the best cigar I've ever had.
And it's not even that he would, like, the fear, the worry is not even that he would be, like, judgy about it. I don't want to let him down.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like a father to me.
Right.
Seriously, you'll feel the same way if you meet him.
Yeah, he drove us all around town. We went up to his house. He just drove, like, he's got a massive, like, field. He just drove through it in his truck. His truck, by the way, 42 feet long.
Yeah.
It is the King Ranch Ford F-350, like fully loaded. I've never seen a bigger truck in my life.
Yeah. When we were on our way to we were trying to find a breakfast spot, but nothing was open. So he was like basically saying that's why he bought the whole city.
Yeah.
So he could have breakfast at. But he stopped to get gas really quick. And I kept looking back because he was standing out there for so long. And then I turned to Chuba and I was like, it's $175. And he gets in and he's like, $175 only gets me 2/3 of a tank. I was like, what? What kind of tank is this? What are we putting in it? But apparently it's like a 40-gallon tank, which is insane.
42.
Yeah, 42 gallons.
42-gallon tank.
Insane.
The moonroof in this thing was bigger than my king-size bed. Absolutely massive. And we were driving by and there were some signs out for the new sheriff elect in town. Mm-hmm. And he said that he had talked to this gentleman, and he just, like, when he got to town, he just told the police, like, hey, if anyone ever gets pulled over for a possible DUI, just call me and I'll come pick them up and bring them home. Mm-hmm. So things don't get messy.
I asked him if there was a mayor and he said no. And I said, there will be.
Yeah.
Because this guy will be the mayor of that
town. And he already, I mean, unofficially, he's
unofficial mayor. Yeah. Maybe even governor one day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is the coolest guy. He just gets it.
He does.
He gets it. And he's trying to make something really sick, which mm-hmm. you just respect. When somebody comes in and wants to do it right and have, like, people just have a good time and more than just golf, it's really special. It's a special place. It's got a lot of potential.
Yeah, it's not a course that you just, like, show up, play, and leave.
No.
You show up, you play, you become part of Troy's family, mm-hmm. you have a great goddamn time on the course and off the course.
Yeah, you can't.
But while you're still at the course, like, you don't leave the course, but the things that he's added in there to do for fun on top of the golf, which is fantastic, mm-hmm. is just immeasurable.
Yeah, I mean, he was telling a story about how some guys wanted to smoke a cigar outside the restaurant, like on the patio. But there were people around and you're not supposed to do that. He said he just picked up the table and moved it on like 15 feet onto the grass, like overlooking the 18th hole.
Yeah.
And was like, you guys mind sitting in the grass? And they were like, no, not at all. And they just smoked their cigars. He will cater to anybody.
Yeah. He mentioned a few times. He's like, I cannot stand when people tell somebody no.
Yeah. He's a yes man.
Yeah.
He is a huge yes.
And man. That's great when he's the boss, you know, and you're like at his establishment and you want something done. It might not be like, and he said, like, due to like the regulations and laws and stuff, like the staff at the time probably would have been forced to say, no, you can't smoke this here. But Troy said, you know what? I'm going to find a way.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys are going to be smoking their cigars. Our other guests won't be bothered by it. And we won't get in trouble with the state.
Troy finds a way.
Dude, when we were at the pizza shop, there was like a guy across the bar. He wanted hamburger on his pizza. They didn't have hamburger on. Troy walks right to the back. He says, guess what, guys? We're going to put some hamburger on a pizza because my man out here wants some.
There you go.
Unbelievable service.
Yeah.
I mean, anything you want.
He's got to
make it happen.
As opposed to like a big time place, like a bit like that, like he's got a lot of things under his umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
And usually somebody like that is not that involved. He is involved in everything.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, he knows everybody that's working in every position,
knows their names, yeah. Talks to them,
buys them, like has them out. Like this, it's a family mm-hmm. over there.
He's got like, I don't know, 3 or 4 vehicles up there. And he just like lets like his superintendent is in on his like car shares, his like the head of his chefs and food department. He'll be like, because I asked for his fucking massive truck. I was like, he also has a place in Manhattan. I was like, Troy, you just wheel this thing down to Manhattan because it like wouldn't fit anywhere in Manhattan. Says, well, sometimes I'll trade it off with Jesse, the superintendent. He'll drive it for a bit. I'll take the RAV4 or the Jeep or whatever. It's like, I mean, who does that? Who's yeah. just like, oh, you need a vehicle guy? Like, take one of mine. To just any employee he's gotten there.
Yeah, it's not. And we'll go to other places and we won't talk them up like this because we're not just talking this place up.
No.
Like, I'm not just trying to gas this place up.
No.
It's that good.
Yeah.
The golf course is fun. The greens are unbelievably fast.
And the vibes are better.
The vibes are the best. Some of the best golf vibes I've ever experienced.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great place.
Right.
Fox Run Golf Club.
Yeah.
Group chat golf approved.
For sure.
Yeah.
Like maybe the most group chat golf approved place on earth.
Yeah. As of right now. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's going to be tough to top that. You're going to have to go above and beyond to top that.
Yeah. Especially because it's such a nice golf course. Like mm-hmm. you can find good vibes at like a little Muni, but to find them at a place like this.
Yeah.
And to that extent was unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean the things he's done with that, like they redid all the bunkers, the greens are in great shape. You know, he's like, we're driving. He's shown us the tour of the course. There'll be like a little area of fescue with like some wildflowers in it. And he's like, yeah, we got to get those picked out, you know? And then the guy doesn't even really golf. Like, he'll go out there and play, but he's not a golfer.
No.
And so for somebody to just know, like, I don't even understand how he knows what a golf course should be or what golfers need, like how he's done that in 1 year is impossible for me to understand.
Yeah. Some people just get it.
Yeah.
He just knows what the people want. He knows what's good.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, he knows what's good. And that place, I'm telling you, 5 years from now, that place will be hopping in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
If he's in charge of the whole town.
Yeah.
Which he is.
Which he is.
So, yeah, we'll have a tournament there. He basically said we could have a bunch of people stay at his house. He said he sleeps like 40 people or something crazy.
He's got the biggest fire pit.
Biggest, best fire pit.
And it's not even that it's a – I mean, it's definitely a big fire pit in terms of just like where you put the fire. The rocks that he has around the fire pit are – they were boulder. They were size of cars.
Yeah.
And he
surrounding it in a circle.
He's got all this equipment because he came from – construction and concrete and gravel. He's also got like a financial firm, but he just like, so he knows equipment really well. He's got equipment. These rocks, I mean, they had to come from the Stone Age.
Yeah. There were a couple he said he couldn't move.
Yeah. Just piled them up out in the middle of the field next to an old rusted out truck that he found in the woods and dragged up to his massive field as a lawn ornament.
Yeah. With a beautiful view. Mm-hmm. I mean, Just a gem of a human,
mm-hmm.
and a great place. Can't wait to go back.
Cannot wait. And the tournament, like if we could do this, get the only hesitation we really have is that it's far from a major market. Mm-hmm. But if once he's renovating his hotel right now, one of them. And so when we get that thing done and we can get players up for maybe a 2-day event or at least a round of golf and a night stay, I mean, we will be shuttled back and forth from the hotel and the golf course. Like it is, and he will let us do anything we want out there.
Yeah.
We will have no restrictions. There's not going to be like any, you know, sometimes you run in with courses and they don't necessarily want you to have as much fun as we like to have responsibly. But he's just down. He's down. He's a people pleaser. He likes a good time and he gets it. And he's got the big hoopty.
Big hoopty.
I mean, when you guys see the big hoopty, and I think we posted it on our stories and stuff and maybe get a picture thrown up there, but it is just an absolute hoot of a time on that thing.
Yeah, when he starts ripping it, like, mm-hmm. I mean, we must have been going like 40.
Yeah, that thing opens up. That thing opens up.
Yeah, so it was a great, we had a huge week.
Yeah.
We were tired.
Probably the biggest week of our careers.
Yep. And we're going out after this to make more content because now we're addicted to making videos.
Yeah.
So we hope you like them.
We've got two in the bank. One is a full hole 18 match. Hole 18, one hole match between Sonny and I.
Yeah, we'll probably re-record that one today.
We'll see 18. Who wins that. Well, we'll continue to film.
Re-record that at Maury today.
We'll continue to film them and just have like a running series of them. You know,
maybe, you know, the footage wasn't great. It was our first try.
I liked the footage a lot. I thought the footage came out really good. So we'll probably have to get that one doctored up. And
no, I think that actually got deleted from my phone. Sometimes.
I don't think that it did. Well, but
I ever airdropped
it. Did we take that on your phone?
Yeah. But it's gone.
We'll have to go through the photo library and just see what's left.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. So, yeah, look for more of that. We're excited about it. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back with Seabass's Live Golf PGA Tour Minute of the Week.
We will be back on Monday.
Yep, I believe, right?
Depending Monday, how Monday goes. But, no, yeah, we'll be back Tuesday.
Correct.
We get a new episode on Tuesday.
Yeah. We'll be right back.